last night I had a dream, and I dreamt that I was upstairs in the upper foyer, and I was in my pajamas, and I fell asleep on the sofa. And Janet Ludwell came and woke me up, and she said, "Come on, Janine, you've got to get down there. You're preaching." So there's lots of things to be grateful for. I'm just grateful I'm standing here and I'm not in my PJs. Okay, around mid-August, we were in the portion of the year where we were talking about what it is to grow as a disciple of Jesus. And I spoke on the cost of being a disciple. And I emphasize that there's a big difference between being a believer who simply believes in Jesus, while the demons believe in Jesus, and someone who is a disciple. And a disciple being someone who gives their entire life to learn from, to glean from, to absorb from the teaching and the life of the Rabbi Jesus, with the hope of one day becoming the exact living replica of Jesus. I then went on to say that Jesus gave his entire time here on earth to the making of disciples. And then after his death and resurrection, he rallies all of his disciples together and he has his final words with them. And Grant spoke from this portion of scripture last week, but I really sense there's more that the Holy Spirit wants to show us. So we're going to get back into Matthew 28. And I think it's going to be up behind me. It's the New Living Translation. And now, I'm just going to read it from there. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always." And now my phone's doing something funny because I wanted to read from the Living Translation. James, come help me quickly. This is my technical help. I don't know what I've done.
I don't know what you've done.
Go into Passion Translation. Ah. This is why you get married
passion.
To someone.
Passion.
Yeah. All right. Let's go all the way to the end. So this is the Passion Translation, because these words are so passionate. And then Jesus came close to them and he said, "All authority of the universe has been given to me. Now wherever you go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I've commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of the age." Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, if you only had minutes left with your family and your closest friends, and I know this isn't a pleasant thought, but just track with me for a moment, stay on this process. If you knew this was your last chance, your life was coming to an end, and this is your last moment with your closest people, what would you say? What would you communicate? I'm sure you probably wouldn't say, "Hey, you know what? The best place to get a burrito is Mission Burritos." I'm sure you probably wouldn't talk about the weather, although because the majority of you are English, there's a high possibility that you might. I'm sure you probably wouldn't tell your kids to clean up their room or moan about your next door neighbor. What would you communicate in that moment? It would be the deepest, most profound, and important thing inside of you that you would want to share. It would be the thing that mattered to you the most. It would be like, "This is the sum of my life. I need to share this with you right now. This is not a casual moment, and these are not casual words. This isn't a list of 50 important things that Jesus taught." You know, everything that Jesus taught was important. But there is something we have to pay attention to here. These are his final words. This is the fourth and final encounter that Jesus has after the resurrection that he has with his disciples. And he's commissioning them before he goes to be with his Father. So these words are weighty. And he starts by saying, "Guys, I've won. I've won. I have all of the authority, all of it, not just in heaven, but on earth as well. I have authority in both places. This is a new day. I have won, and we're on the winning team. And I mean, he's really just laying this out for his disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth belongs to me. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples. And it's from that place of all authority, which is translated, I have legal right. I have been appointed. I have appointed power. I have legitimate power. Nothing can stop it. No plan of the enemy can stop my plan for my creation. Nothing that the enemy or humans do for the rest of time can stop the fact that I have all of the authority. This is big. I win. The kingdom wins. Love has overcome. Death has bowed the knee. And because I have overcome, nothing can stop me. This is not casual. This is not a casual statement. He's not saying, hey guys, I got a little boost in my power. No. The cross changed everything. It literally divided human history in time, BC AD. And he begins to speak to his disciples and he's telling them what to do next. And what we should be asking ourselves is this. If these are Jesus' final words, and he's commissioning us in this moment, this is the final command he gives before leaving the earth, we should be asking ourselves after reading this, what does that mean? I mean, this is how I process. What does this mean and how do I do this? If this is such a big deal, I want to lean in and I want to know, how can I apply this to my life? And I believe that Jesus gives us some really good clues in this portion of scripture. And when you look at the Greek, without going in too much detail, we will see how he does that. And we'll get there in a moment. But I want to say this is what you call an imperative statement, in which there are three instructions that are given. And he says, and he explains then how to do the instructions. So he says, do this, and that is how you do it. And then do that. And this is how you do it. Boom, boom, boom. Three instructions. And we're going to have a look at that in a moment. But first of all, I just want to say, our greatest call is to make disciples. You don't have to keep asking God, what is my purpose? You don't have to line up for a prophetic word. It's to make disciples. That's our calling. Everything else you do, if you're an educator, if you're a business person, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a songwriter, a producer, whatever else you do, that is your sub-calling. Or rather, it's the method of accomplishing the calling on your life. Or it's a tool to accomplish your real calling, which is to make disciples, which we've been commissioned by God to do, to advance his kingdom and make disciples. And there's so much hope attached to these words when Jesus is speaking. He's actually making a declaration. He's saying, come on, guys, let's go. I've won. Let's do it. And there are two commands within the Great Commission, and I want you to notice they are not suggestions. There's a difference. And the first one is, go make disciples of all the nations, and then he tells us how to do it. We'll get there. And then the second command is, he says, and pay attention. Behold. Lo, if you read the New King James and speak Shakespearean, I am with you always. I am with you always. And if you read these two verses again, you will see he says, I've been given all authority, go into all of the nations and teach the disciples to obey all the commands I've given you and be sure I'll be with you always. Jesus is all in the statement. He's all in. And he's saying, I want you to give it all. You've got all the authority. Go to everyone, everywhere. Teach them everything. Let's do it. Come on. The kingdom is coming and I'm with you. And there's never going to be a moment that I am not with you. That is some good news. And I actually feel like there's some people here today that need to hear that. There is never a moment, not a time in your life, that God is not with you. Always, everywhere, go. Nothing is off limits. He is not saying, you know what, just live in a Christian bubble. Just listen to Christian music, get Christian TV, hang out with Christian friends, and hang on tight and try and stay righteous. No, he's not saying that. Always go everywhere. Nothing is off limits to my love. Go into all of the mess, all of the darkness, all of the chaos. Go to everyone, tell them everything. Don't give them some watered down, non-powerful religious Christianity. Please don't do that. Give them all of me, every detail. Tell them all the things we did together. This is so passionate, the way he speaks. We need to get this. And you know what? In so many ways, this whole passage is about authority. And I don't have a huge amount of time to get into it, but I want to say this, that authority is really a big deal to God. You will notice that when Jesus walked the earth, he was under full submission to the authority of his Father. He only did what he saw his Father do. Authority really, really matters. Remember when the government official comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word because I'm a man under authority. I know how this works. And Jesus stops and he says, I have never seen faith like this, ever. It impacted Jesus so much. So you see, authority really matters. And Jesus has established his authority. And this whole passage is about being a disciple, making disciples, and submitting to the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. And the only way you can walk in that kind of authority is if you walk under it. That's the truth. There's no other way. And you know what? Our present culture doesn't like the concept much of submitting to authority. But you know what? We need to embrace kingdom culture. I don't care what this culture says. Because in a kingdom, you submit to the king. You submit to his lordship and his leadership in your life. So as disciples, it's this great news that we share in the authority of Christ. And they were given this to take the kingdom to all of the earth. But it was because they were submitted to the authority of Jesus, just as he was submitted to his Father's authority. And so the statement, he begins the Great Commissioning by his saying, here's your calling. And then he tells them, go therefore and make disciples. And there are three things that he shows us what to do. The first thing is go. Then he says baptize. Then he says teach. So we're going to start with go. When you look at the Greek, when you look at the Hebrew, when you look at the Aramaic, you can look at any language you want. Do you want to guess what go means? Yep, nothing fancy. It's just old-fashioned, get off your butt and move. It's a directive. It demands action. It's movement. It means proceed, advance. I'll tell you what the complete opposite of that word is. The opposite of what you're supposed to do is remain, stay, stop, stand. So one of the key ways that we're going to make disciples and do the very thing that we've been commissioned to do requires us to go. That means you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You're actually going to have to go to people. You can't sit at home and wait for people to knock on your door and say, tell me about Jesus. It's not going to happen. You've got to go to where people are hurting. You've got to go to where they're lost. You've got to go to where it's messy. This is what Jesus did. Most of his time on earth wasn't spent in the synagogue. He was out there with the fishermen, with the prostitutes. He went to everybody, the moms, the kids, the religious leaders, the rich, the poor, the outcasts, the marginalized. He went to the Inland Revenue guy up in the tree. He had dinner with that guy. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time I did that? I'm preaching to me too. There was no limits to Jesus's go. Go is necessary to advance the kingdom. You have to go into industries, into culture, into the community around you. And you will notice that Jesus didn't just go to the cool people or the clean people or the people who like him. He went to the lepers and the outcasts and the prostitutes. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And when you've experienced that kind of love, it will compel you to move out of your comfort zone. It will compel you to move out of your selfishness and go to humanity. Go to people. And then I want to say this, there's no way we can make disciples from a sitting position. And I want to explain that a little bit more. When we were living in South Africa, we knew an elderly lady who was physically unable to leave her house. But you know what? That never stopped her. Every day she would get the old-fashioned Yellow Pages phone book and she would pray over it until the Holy Spirit highlighted numbers. And then she would phone people and lead them to the Lord. Every day, she would lead maybe between 5 and 6 people to the Lord. I mean, talk about not retiring, but refiring. Go was so engraved on her spirit that even though her physical body was limited, she didn't see any limitations in her spirit man. And I want to say this, as Christians, it's very easy to live with a red light in your life. I'm just going to sit here. You know what? I'm going to wait for my 5 prophetic words. I need at least all my close friends to confirm it for me. I need to hear a sermon that tells me exactly to go. Maybe this is that sermon. I'm sitting here waiting for God to say, go. When we were always intended to live with a green light. We live with a green light. We're doing this, Father. This is on my heart. These are my people. Let's go and love them. And I tell you what, if God does not want you to go, he'll put up a red light or a slow down sign. He's more than capable of doing that. But it should be this posture in our hearts. Go. And when you have that posture in your heart, instead of waiting around for some kind of a sign or angels river dancing at the bottom of your bed when you wake up every morning telling you to go, instead you wake up every morning and you're saying, God, where do we get to go today? Who do I send an encouraging text to? Who do I buy coffee for? Which neighborhood do you want me to drive through and pray for today? Where are we going? Come on, Jesus, let's go. That's what we're supposed to be doing every morning. And you see, sometimes we get it into our thinking that, you know, this going thing is like we've got to go to another country on a mission trip. Or we like to leave the going bits to, you know, those crazy people who are called to be missionaries. But that's not how it is. It's for all of us. Our mission field is our street, our neighborhood, our city, our next door neighbor. Go is a heart attitude. It's positioning yourself to be willing to obey on a day-to-day basis. Now, you'll remember in Luke 10, Jesus sends out the 72 disciples. And he sent them to go and advance the kingdom. And Jesus gives them very specific instructions on how to go. He said to them, as you go, go in peace. So the first thing is, under the heading of go, as you go in peace. That does not mean when you go somewhere, you turn up and you say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm here to fix all your problems. That's not going in peace, that's just annoying. It's annoying that we think that we know how to do government, that we know how to do education, that we know how to do everything better than everyone else. Everybody is made in the image of God. Whether people have been sanctified in their gifting and call doesn't mean they're any less valuable, sanctified, gifted, or called. So as Christians, we come in to serve, not with this posture, we're going to take over. Are we all in agreement with that? Good, just check in. So when he says go in peace, we go into communities, we go into industries, we go into our culture in peace. And I want to say this. When you go in peace, release blessing over wherever you are. You know, we get so hung up about, you know, talks about curses and blessings. And you know what? When you know what this authority is, when you submit it to the authority of the king, you just break a curse. Boom, it's gone. You don't have to get all worried about that. But I tell you, when you bless someone, that blessing will attach to them. It will hunt them down. It will be all over them like a bad rash. They won't be able to shake it off because you're blessing in them. And you're going to see the atmosphere around you change. You're going to see people who you don't particularly like much, but when you start blessing them, you're going to see change. That's what it is to bring peace. Start blessing people. I don't even care if it's a witch's cavern. Go and bless it. That might mess with your theology a bit, but I'm telling you, we can see things change by bringing blessing as Christians. So when he says, go in peace, he then says, heal the sick. So pray for someone, do something, help practically with no hidden agenda. Go in peace, help someone. So the first thing, as you go in peace. Secondly, roll up your sleeves, get involved. Ask for an upgrade in the spiritual gifts. One thing I know about this culture that we live in is they're sick and tired of a church that has form but no power. That's from 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. And we need to ask, you know, for signs and wonders. It says, that follow those who believe. Last year, I was up doing Freshers' Fair, and, you know, you're just talking to students, and, you know, most of them don't want to know. They're not interested in going to church. Why would they? There's so many other things on offer to them. And I was chatting to this girl, and she said to me, I'm just not interested. I'm an atheist, and I'm not really interested in God and that. I was like, that's fine. But I tell you what, I believe God speaks to me, and I feel like he wants to share something with you today. And as I said that, I mean, I'm stepping out in faith. I get a movie running through my mind of something that had happened to her when she was younger. And I begin to share this incident with her. And all of a sudden, the walls come down. Because she feels seen by God. She feels known by God, that there is someone out there that knows and loves me. And by the end of that encounter, we're in an embrace, and I'm praying for her, and she's crying. Because she's come into a real encounter with a God who loves her. This is what people need. They don't want to be preached at. They want to be loved. They want to be seen. Ask God for an upgrade in the gifts of the Spirit. So get involved, help. This is the model that Jesus gave them. And then after you've done the first two steps, then preach the gospel of the kingdom. And you notice there's an order in the going. He doesn't say, go in and preach. He's like, go peace, help, then lead people to the king and the kingdom. Jesus is clever. He knows what he's talking about. And so when he's saying, go and make disciples of all the nations in the Great Commission, this is what they already had in their minds. This is what going looked like to them. They knew they were going to go bring some peace. They were going to bring some help and solutions, some healing. And then when they actually had relationship with people and clout and some sort of authority, they could then lead people to the king and the kingdom. So when thinking about go, I want you to be thinking about that is the process in which you go. And I want to say this, that going doesn't just mean physically showing up. And I'll give you an example, and I want you to hear my heart in this. There's a very fine line between saying, okay, I'm a covert Christian in my industry, in my company, in my workplace, wherever, and then 30 years later, I'm still a covert Christian in my workplace, in my industry, whatever. Waiting for one day, some magical moments that I can profess Christ. It's not just about showing up. It's about saying, I am here. And I have this posture in my heart that's like, I'm releasing truth. I'm releasing a blessing. I'm releasing the love of God to everyone around me. I've got a mission from Jesus. I'm on a mission to release the kingdom. And I know that there's a balance, because I know that there are times when the Holy Spirit says, be quiet and don't say anything. But it's more a place of, this is my lifestyle. I'm here in the name of my Father. I'm not here in the name of myself, because we don't make disciples of ourselves. We make disciples of Jesus. We don't wait until one day we might have some position where we actually have some authority and we can use our influence for God. No, We're coming and we're shifting atmospheres because we're releasing the kingdom of heaven. And it might be a simple thing that you're in your workplace and you're thinking, you know what, there's a gossip culture here. And that's not kingdom culture. And I'm going to change that. So that when people come to me and they want to gossip about someone else in my workplace, I don't entertain it. And I'll be like, hey, I really don't want to talk about that person. That's not honoring to them. And when they get a bit aggravated that you won't like gossip, you can say to them, but you know what? If anyone else comes to me about you, I won't entertain that either. And all of a sudden, you are bringing kingdom into your workplace. You're changing a culture where people talk behind their backs to a place of love and safety and security. And I'm telling you, your work colleagues, they will trust you. They will think, you know what? I know that person is a safe person. That's what it is to bring peace, to go and shift atmospheres. It's always from a position, I'm the servant of the living God, and I'm doing this with you, Jesus. So number one, go. And undergo, go in peace, bring some help, and then introduce people to the King and the kingdom. Number two, baptize. The second part of how you make disciples who advance the kingdom is to baptize. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that baptism is symbolic of leaving your old man and your old nature and entering into a totally new reality. It's letting go of life as you know it and entering into a completely new life. So it's kind of interesting that Jesus threw this into the Great Commissioning. But I think there's so much more than just being water dunked in this passage. And we're going to look at the Greek and see what it means. First of all, the Greek word for baptize means to immerse or submerge. We are to immerse and submerge people into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're to trinitize them. I don't even know if that's a word. Can you imagine we're in the baptism pool? Trinitize you. Boom. Okay, I'm just getting lost in my little imagination. Okay, so we're going to trinitize them, but actually the word used for name means character, fame, and reputation. So the actual translation of what we're supposed to do is to immerse or submerge people into the character, fame, and reputation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is powerful. I'm going to say it again. We are to immerse or submerge people into the character, fame, reputation, and nature of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when you're baptized, your race, your class, your culture, that just becomes secondary to your kingdom nature. When you're a businessman and you show up at work, you're not just a businessman. You're God's representative in the marketplace. You are a conduit for the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants around you. And you see truly baptized people who have died to themselves and are submitted to the authority of Christ are able to do this. They can walk in that kind of authority. Isn't this amazing that we get the invitation to do this? So number one, go. Number two, baptize. And number three, he instructs them and he says, teach them to obey all the commands I have given you. You will notice he doesn't say, teach them to know all the right answers. Or just teach them good theology. Or teach them how to win an argument or a debate in a philosophy class. That's not what he says. He says, teach them to obey. Obey everything I've commanded you to do. And when you look at the Greek word here for teach, I believe it would be better translated grow. Grow them to obey. Which grow actually requires nurture. It requires attention. It requires time. It requires watering and shielding and protecting and encouraging. It's not just sit down here and I'm going to teach you. I'm a mum. I've got kids. It never works. I've tried. If I put my kid down there and say, I'm going to teach you, they probably won't listen. It's life on life. It's rather, you know what, my son, I'm going to walk through the mess with you. I'm going to love you even when you're doing things that are not very lovable. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to share in your victories with you. You see, this is how Jesus did it. It was life on life with the disciples. It was over the dinner table. It was breaking bread. It was doing life together. And I think sometimes we have this mentality, especially if we've been raised in a Pentecostal, charismatic kind of background and stream, that the kingdom is coming to earth and it's going to be this crazy moment and the heavens are going to open and glory is going to be poured out. Boom, it's done. And we as Christians get to sit and watch the whole thing with our box of popcorn. But Jesus told us how the kingdom was coming to earth. And it was not super slick and it was not super fancy. It was simply go, baptize, teach. Another thing that for so long the church, well, every generation is taught that Jesus is coming back tomorrow. And so far, generations of people have had this mentality, well, there's no point building because he's coming back tomorrow. Or Tuesday for sure. Was anybody else raised like that? See a few hands. Was anybody raised in church? Okay. And I feel like the church has not done a great job at teaching people what it is to build with legacy. Because thus far, all of those people who believed that for 2,000 years have been wrong. Jesus is coming back. But let's just leave it up to God, right? I mean, I believe there's a reason he didn't tell us. Because he's like, hey guys, that's my business, not yours. Don't worry about it. You just do what I've called you to do. Which is just make disciples of all the nations. Go everywhere to everyone. No one is off limits to my love. Just go. And I think, you know, when we start thinking about legacy, we start thinking differently. How do I build my life? How do I build my family, my ministry, my business with legacy? If I were gone tomorrow, would everything that God has done in my life, everything I have been building, would that continue to advance? Would the kingdom continue to advance through my life, or would it end with me? We have to think about these things. We have to wrestle with these questions. We are called to build with legacy, but it only happens when we're advancing the kingdom. We're taking on Jesus' ministry on earth. And it's only, look, this is not a heavy thing. It's not difficult. As we gaze into his face and we yield to his will, we allow his transformative power to flow through us, then making disciples is going to be easy because people are going to see something different about you. He desires his testimony to increase on the earth, releasing hope, reconciliation, and love. You see, the disciples were Jesus' legacy, and he only had 12. So let's just think, if Jesus could only do it with 12, don't try to do it with more than that. Just get your 12. And pour into them. And maybe after 3 years, you'll release them and they'll find their 12. And you get another group of 12. It's quite simple. Let's not sit and wait for his coming. Let's prepare and build for his coming. And I truly believe that the next season that we're coming into is that the church is going to be a meeting place to train for the marketplace. The church is going to be a meeting place to train for the marketplace. Ephesians 1 verse 8 says, the superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. He has given us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. We should be leading in technology. We should be leading in education and government because he's given it all that we need. And as we finish off, let's not forget the second command that Jesus says in the Great Commission. He ends off by saying this, pay attention, take note, focus on, behold, lo, I am with you always, always I am with you. And that word means behind, before, in front of, around. I mean, I'm literally all over you. You're never alone. You don't have to go out alone. You don't have to go into society alone because I'm always with you. And I've got all the authority. All of my authority is with you. This is so powerful. God plus you, wins every time. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, God makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners in his endless triumph. He includes us as partners in his endless triumph. We can't lose. There's endless victories ahead of us. Now, I'm done. But what I'd like to say, that statistics show that if you hear something and within 2 days you don't actually activate it, you never will. And I really don't want that to happen this morning. So I want to just give you some things to think about, and then we're going to pray. This week, I want you to start thinking in your life, God, how can I really work this into what I'm doing, into my career, where I spend my time, grocery shopping, whatever I'm doing day to day, how can I work this into my day to day? And it's not just day to day, that's a piece of it. The other part is like, God, where are you calling? Where are you calling me? You see, God has uniquely crafted and each one of you and given you a voice that is so distinct and so unique and for a specific space and a specific sphere and tool that he wants to use you for. He's given that to you to make disciples for him. And I know that there's some people in this church who just say, you know what, I really have a heart for the New Age people. And other people are like, yeah, I really have a heart for the wealthy. Some people have a heart for the homeless. That's maybe a question you could begin to ask in the next 2 days. And if you feel like I'm really in that place where I'm supposed to be, then start asking God, how do I begin to help and heal? And when I'm helping and healing, how do I not be quiet? How do I truly introduce people to the King and the Kingdom in a non-weird way? Then how do I really lead people into baptism? How do I not be okay with, hey, cool, you're a Christian, bye, go to church? How do I really walk with people into a submersion of all that God is? This cannot just be a preach, guys. This has to be our lives. And I feel like if we get this into the basics of our day-to-day life, God is going to entrust us with more and more. Because I'm telling you, God wants to disciple nations through you and industries and people groups and all aspects of culture. But it starts with this. Go in peace, bring some help, lead people to the King and the Kingdom, baptize, and then teach. It's not complicated. It's old-fashioned nuts and bolts Christianity. It's simple. I'd love you to all stand. I want us to pray. And I want us to be quite a serious moment, because when we stand and God calls us to do something. So if you feel like, hey, I'm not in that place, I'm not ready, you're more than free to sit down. I'm not going to force you to do anything you're not ready to do. But I want you to just close your eyes for a moment, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to be saying yes to God this morning. So if you're ready with your yes, here we go. Jesus, I thank you that you are with us. We don't have to do this alone. I thank you that you are sovereign and you are good. And God, it blows my mind that you would choose to partner with us, you simply human beings, to advance your kingdom. But God, we say yes. God, we say yes. God, we say yes. I thank you that it's just love. It's just loving people. Loving people to go. Loving people enough to show up. It's just loving people that brings transformation. So Father, I ask that if there is a go issue in our hearts, that you would heal the love issue in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see people the way you do. God, I thank you that you are so in love with every single person that we pass every day on the street, that the least that we do for them is literally what we do for you, Father God, because you are their Father and you love them. God, I pray that you would put love in our heart for the world. We want to see your kingdom advance. We want to leave a legacy with our lives, and we want to see a generation raised up out of our love and our life. That people would know your goodness, they would know your love, they would know your kindness. And we stand here this morning, and as disciples, we say we are willing to obey the commission that you've given us, Lord. We're willing to make disciples. Father God, I thank you for this room full of people that are going to be a great impact for your glory on the earth. And so, Father, we just speak your presence. We just speak your kindness. We speak your goodness over every single person in the room. Yeah. In Jesus' name.